So if you were here this morning when I started talking about really that the whole battle that's going on in society, in individual lives, in your life, it really all comes down to just fighting for the truth. Satan's only power is lies. And he doesn't always just come out straightforward and say, no, it's not true. But he will sow doubt. And the scripture says in James chapter 1 that when you ask for wisdom, you have to ask in faith, nothing wavering. He that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Faith, it's not hard to receive, but you have to have a pure faith, a simple faith. It doesn't have to be a big faith. And if I can talk fast enough, I may get on some of those scriptures here at the end of this. But you don't need a huge faith. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, it's enough to see a mountain removed and cast into the sea. But it can't be counterbalanced, negated, diluted by unbelief. And so unbelief, we call it by different names, but it's actually a lie. It's Satan sowing things that are contrary to what God's Word says. So let me just turn over here to Matthew chapter 8. And this is a powerful passage on healing and some of the things that Jesus said. But there's a lot of examples of healing right here in Matthew chapter 8. In verse 1, it says, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshiped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now, you know, this was appropriate for this guy to say that because he didn't have the written word and he didn't have the example of Jesus and all of the things that we've got. But this is inappropriate for us to say something like this because the scripture reveals that it is God's will for every single person to be healed every single time. Yeah. And did you know, as I say that, there's some of you thinking, well, I know it says that, but what about so-and-so? See, that's unbelief. And it really comes down. The only reason we aren't seeing healing manifest is because the word says, like, for instance, Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with power and with the Holy Ghost who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Not oppressed of God. They were oppressed of the devil. And Jesus healed them all. And then there are just so many scriptures, 1 Peter 2:24, by the latter part of that, by his stripes, we were healed. Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. The scriptures say that it's God's will to heal. But when I say it's God's will to heal every person, immediately some of you think about, well, this person said that and they said they were believing and they died. And so what we do, we let our physical circumstances, the things that we see and feel, negate the Word of God. The Word of God is just super clear that God has already healed us. By His stripes we were healed. It's a done deal. But it's these reservations, these doubts that we have that cause the healing not to manifest. Not God who's not giving. It's us who aren't receiving. So it was appropriate for him to say, if you will, because they didn't know. But Jesus turned around and said, I will. Be thou clean. So now we can't answer this question anymore. We can't say, God, is it your will to heal me? If it be your will, heal me. And Jesus reached forth his hand and touched him. And of course, this was a leper. And by Jesus touching him, according to the Old Testament law, this made Jesus unclean. But you know, Jesus was in a category all his own. Instead of him being defiled by somebody who was unclean, they got clean by him. Because man, his anointing and the power in him was so much greater than the things that were in others. And then it goes on. The next thing is that there was a centurion that had a servant that was sick. And he asked the Lord to come and heal his servant. And as Jesus was going, he sent a messenger and he said, I don't need you to come under my roof. I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. If you will speak the word only, my servant shall be healed. And look at what Jesus said when he heard this, down in verse 10. When Jesus heard it, he marveled. There's only two instances in scripture where Jesus marveled. This is one of them, at this man's great faith. And the other time it says he marveled at his disciples' unbelief. He was amazed how a Gentile, what we would say today, a non-believer, could have such great faith, and he was amazed that people who had spent 3.5 years with him so could be so dull. Amen. There's a reason that they were called disciples. He said, he marveled and said unto them that followed him, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And then he goes on and talks about all of the Jews who were God's chosen people who were supposed to have a corner on God and have a special relationship with him. He says there's going to be people come from all over the world, from different nations and stuff, and they're going to be operate more faith than you are, which was super offensive to the Jews when he said that, because they thought that they had a special relationship with God. And I've got a whole teaching on this. I'm just going to mention this. I'm not going to stay here. But if you contrast this centurion's faith with Thomas's faith, which was one of his 12 apostles in John chapter 20, after Jesus was resurrected from the dead, he appeared unto his disciples, but Thomas wasn't with them. And so they told Thomas later that we've seen the Lord and he's alive. And Thomas said, unless I can see with my eyes and the print of the nails and put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. If you were to really meditate on those verses, unbelief, reservations, doubts are things that you willed. He said, I will not believe. Doubt is not something that just overtakes us and it possesses us and we can't seem to break free of it. Doubt comes from thoughts. Doubt comes from values. But doubt comes from ways of thinking, not just individual thoughts, but a paradigm, a way of looking at things. And we have all been taught how to doubt.
That's right.
And I know some of you think, oh, not me. Yes, you have. We've been brought up in this is a culture of unbelief. And we don't even recognize it. We've been taught to believe that only what you can see, taste, hear, smell, and feel is true. And that you're foolish and you're crazy if you're sitting here saying that something is so when you can't prove it, when they can't put it in a test tube. I have people come to me all the time and say, if your son was really raised from the dead, why don't you get a doctor's report? Why don't you prove this? And let's prove to people. Let's make people believe. They'll say the same thing about Noah's Ark. If they've, you know, I've seen pictures of Noah's Ark. Anyway, I'm not going to go into all that, but there's proof to all of these things. And they say, why don't we prove and just make people believe? This goes along with what Jesus was saying. He gave a parable about a man who died and went to hell. And in hell, he saw Lazarus there. And he said, Abraham, send Lazarus, dip his finger in water and come to cool my tongue. And he says, he can't. There's a great gulf in between us and you can't pass over it. And he says, well, then send Lazarus back to tell my brothers so that they don't come into this terrible place where I am. And he says, they have Moses and the prophets. And he says, well, then they won't listen to the prophets. But if somebody rose from the dead, they'd believe. And he says, if they don't believe Moses and the prophets, they will not believe though one rose from the dead. And see, people who are saying, let's do something, let's get these artifacts, let's do things and prove to people and make people believe. The Bible says in Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Faith does not come through seeing miracles. Faith does not come through you proving something. You can't argue a person into relationship with God. Faith has to be embraced. It has to come through the word of God, and you can't get it by proving something or making people believe. Now, miracles, when a person sees a miracle, if their heart is already open, but they're just struggling with some doubt, well, then seeing a miracle can help you reject some of your unbelief. But the faith that it takes to see a miracle only comes through the word of God. And so my point is that we've been taught to say, but if I can't see it or hear it or feel it, it doesn't exist. That's unbelief. You were taught a lie. There is a whole spiritual world out there and inside of you. And the Bible teaches us all of these things. And yet there's a lot of people that have just been trained to believe that, well, I've got a doctor's report. This proves that I'm not healed. You say that I am healed. This says I'm not healed. Which is it? It's both. In the spirit, you are healed. God's supernatural power that raised Christ from the dead lives on the inside of you, and it's a done deal, but it has to flow through your soul and then out through your body. And if you're sitting there thinking that God hasn't moved, nothing has happened until I can see it, feel it, until a doctor can prove it, then that's unbelief. And you've wavered. You've doubted. You're double-minded, and a double-minded man shall not receive anything of the Lord. James chapter 1. And so then the next instance right here, he goes down and he goes into Peter's house, and Peter's mother-in-law was sick. For those of you that believe that Peter was the first pope and that he was celibate, it's hard to have a mother-in-law if you don't have a wife. That is all religious tradition. And this is another lie that people have embraced and believed. And this is one reason that there's so many Catholic priests that are homosexuals, because God gave them a sexual drive and they won't allow them to have a normal relationship between a man and a woman. And so they wind up being homosexuals. It's not meant to be that way. So he went into Peter's house, and it says in verse 14, when Jesus come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. When even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. Did you know that there's 14 separate times in the Gospels where Jesus healed every single person that was sick? Now, there's some other instances where he healed one or two at a time. And there's only one instance that I'm aware of in the Gospels, Mark chapter 6, verse 5, where he didn't heal everybody. And it says that he could not. It didn't say he would not, but he could not do many mighty works because of their unbelief. Mark chapter 6, verse 5 and 6 compared with Matthew 13, 58. Those are the same instances, and you put them together. He couldn't do it because of their unbelief. Jesus was not operating in any lack of power whatsoever. He was walking 100% in the full manifestation of God's power. And yet in his hometown, where people didn't respect him because they saw him grow up as a little child, you know, familiarity breeds contempt. And Jesus even said that a prophet is not without honor except in his own house and in his own kin and stuff. So when people are familiar with you, they don't respect you. And they didn't respect him. They said, isn't this Joseph, Joseph's son? And aren't his brothers and sisters all here? No, they were wrong. This wasn't Joseph's son. Amen. He was born of a virgin. And they didn't honor him. They didn't respect him. And that lack of trusting him and believing who he was is what stopped the supernatural healing power of God from operating in his life. But in this instance and every other place except that one place, he healed every person that was present. And in verse 17, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bear our sicknesses. And so the scripture right here says that by Jesus healing these people, that was a fulfillment of the prophecy that was spoken by Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 and 5, where Jesus took our sicknesses and our diseases. Healing is a part of the atonement. Just as surely as forgiveness of sins is a part of what Jesus came to do, he also healed you just as much as he has forgiven your sins. But one of the reasons people can receive salvation, I'm assuming that the vast majority of people here are born again, and you've already received that. Did you know receiving a healing is easier than receiving salvation? And yet most people think, oh, no, it isn't. I receive salvation with very little effort. The reason is because salvation is something that you can't see. You can't feel it. Now, you can have some effect on your feelings. You can feel joy. You can feel a release from the oppression that Satan had put you under. But I'm saying basically you can't put salvation in a test tube. You can't prove it. You can't go to a doctor and say, would you run a test to see if I'm saved? They can't do that. And so you had to believe for something that you couldn't see, and you just accepted it. But when it comes to healing, people believe that if God really healed me, if anything was happened, then my pain ought to be gone. My vision ought to be right. I ought to be able to do this. I ought to be able to go to the doctors and get it verified. And so you don't believe the same for healing as you did for forgiveness of sins. I can guarantee you, since you've been born again, there's some time or another that you've been discouraged. Maybe you didn't feel saved. Maybe somebody came out against you, something happened, and you didn't feel saved, and yet you didn't go by how you felt. You didn't reject your salvation because today I don't feel saved. But if you don't feel healed, if you have a pain, if the doctor still says that you've still got cancer, people believe that. It doesn't take more faith to get healed than it does to get saved, but it takes a simple faith that doesn't waver. And the sad fact is, most of us are more controlled by what we see, taste, hear, smell, and feel, by what our physical circumstances say, than we are by God's Word. What the Bible calls that is carnal. A lot of people think that carnal is referring to people who are murderers, rapists, etc., and that is all carnal. But not all carnality is sin. Carnal just means that you're controlled by your five senses. Your five senses dominate you more than what God's Word says, more than what faith does. And so a person who prays and says, God, I believe your word says, by your stripes I'm healed. So they pray, and then they're just looking for instantly everything to be gone. And if they don't see it, if they don't feel it, if the doctor doesn't verify it, then immediately they start being carnal. They start letting their senses dominate them. They start saying, but this is more real. I hope you understand what I'm saying. You can talk about a lot of things. You can talk about we don't understand the love of God. Sometimes people think, well, I deserve this, and God's put... And there's a lot of things involved in healing. But I think that the bottom line is that most people are just controlled more by what they see and what they feel than they are by the Word of God. They have unbelief that came through believing a lie. So what I want to do, all of this is introduction, and I want to say that I just want to share with you some real simple things that'll help you recognize that God is a spirit. John chapter 4, verse 24. God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It would be accurate to say that God is a spirit, and if you're going to receive your healing, you have to receive it in spirit and in truth. God's word is truth. And then the physical manifestation is a byproduct, but it is not the real thing. It's like Narisa was saying that it wasn't really just the physical healing. It was the deliverance from all of the other stuff. And if you were to hear her whole testimony, I'll butcher it if I try and say all of this, Narisa, but she was pregnant and went into the hospital. How long? A year in the hospital?
4 months.
How long?
4 months.
4 months in the hospital, but it was a year after your pregnancy and before she had all of these things, lost her hair, had cut part of her scalp off and all of these things. But it caused so much emotional and intellectual problems and stuff that was the real healing. When she got healed in her heart and began to start thinking properly, well, then as you think in your heart, that's the way that you will be in your body. And she got healed in her heart first before she got healed in her body. You've got to get to where this is more real to you than what you can see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. And a lot of people think, this is strange. Well, I think you're strange. You can get to where this is more real to you than anything else. And so I'm going to say a lot of things here, and just for time's sake, I'm going to quote a lot of things, but over in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It didn't say the evidence of things don't exist. They do exist, but it exists in an unseen realm. There is a spiritual world that most people are not aware of because, again, they're carnal. They are just going by what they can see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. And again, this is not to criticize anybody. All of us were raised this way. We were raised to just, operate in reality, quit living in a fantasy. And we're told that it's foolish, it's childlike for you to believe all of these things. And we are taught, they just constantly beat faith out of us. I remember one time I was leading worship at a Full Gospel Businessman's thing, and this little kid was just dancing like, I mean, they were just beside themselves. It was awesome. And anyway, I got up and I said, did you know, at one time, all of us were kind of like that. But as you grow up, you are taught to put restraints on you and to worry about what people say. And we do all of these things and it just smothers us and we get to where we restrain ourselves. And this little girl, it turned out she had called in after one of my radio programs and she had pulled boiling water off on her, had third degree burns. Is that the worst? Third degree. Anyway, she had the worst burns that you could get. And she had her whole chest and arm were totally covered with bandages and salve over it that the lady had taken her to the doctor. And anyway, she called in and asked for prayer. And that was that day. And that night she came and she was the lady was changing the bandages. And as she took the bandages off to put some more stuff on, her flesh was back to totally normal. And this little five-year-old girl was just dancing and praising God and stuff like that. And this is one of the reasons Jesus said that a little child will lead us, because a little child, they just trust. They just believe. They don't have enough sophistication to talk themselves out of their healing. And she just believed. It was awesome. So faith is the ability to see into the unseen. It's the ability to believe something that you can't see, taste, hear, smell, or feel. That's important. Faith isn't believing something that isn't real. And if you'll believe it hard enough, it'll become real. No, it is real. It's just in the spirit realm. Everything that God does, God is a spirit, and God moves in the spirit realm. And Jesus said this in John chapter 3 when he was talking to Nicodemus. He says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. And that's just a way of saying that spirit is spirit, flesh is flesh. There is no connection between the two except your soul. Your soul is the bridge, the connector. And when you start operating in faith, faith allows what is true in the spirit realm to come over into the physical realm. But faith, you have to believe that these things already exist. It's already done. By the stripes of Jesus, you were healed 2,000 years ago. One of the reasons you were able to believe for salvation is because they didn't tell you that if you would pray and if you would ask God to forgive you, let's just pray and see if He'll forgive you. Yeah. And so you pray, and then depending on how you feel, you say, oh yeah, I feel like I'm forgiven now. That's not the way you do it. I've actually had people come before and I've prayed with them and I, you know, Romans chapter 10, verse 9. If you'll confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And I'll have somebody pray and I'll say, so are you saved? Do you believe? Well, I guess. And I say, what do you mean you guess? He said, this is what God said. Is God a liar? Oh no, he would never lie. Well, then God said, if you would confess with your mouth that Jesus is your Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. So did you do that? Yes, I did it. So did God lie? No, he didn't lie. So are you saved? Well, I guess so. And they'll sit there and they'll receive salvation because this is what the word says, and they don't feel it, they don't see it, but they believe it. But when it comes to healing, people will come and pray and they'll pray. And then if they don't feel it, if they don't see it, they don't believe it's done. If that's the way that you approach salvation, you wouldn't have gotten saved because you didn't feel saved. You didn't look saved. You just believed what the word says. If we would do the exact same thing with healing, you would get healed. But we immediately are expecting to see a physical manifestation. And there's a balance to what I'm saying. I'm not saying that you just believe and never see anything happen. If your faith is operating properly, you will see things change. But in the 11th chapter of the book of Mark, Jesus spoke to a fig tree and he said, no man will eat fruit of you hereafter forever. And did you know immediately it says in Matthew's account of that, that the fig tree died. But in Mark's account, Mark chapter 11, it was the next day that his disciples walked by that fig tree and they saw it withered, dried up from the roots. And they said, Master, look, the fig tree that you cursed is dead. And people think, well, how come it didn't happen immediately? It did happen immediately, but it happened in the roots, below the ground. You couldn't see it. It's the same thing. When you pray immediately, The supernatural healing power of God releases it, but it's in the spirit realm. And if you don't have any faith, there's no bridge for what's happening in the spirit realm to come over into the physical realm. You have to get to where you can believe that something is happening beyond your ability to see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. Right now, I'm using a wireless microphone. And did you know that this microphone is transmitting a signal up there and then they're broadcasting it? But there's not only this signal, there's other things. There's all kinds of signals. There's radio, there's television signals in this room. And if you're just carnal and say, no, there aren't. Why? Because you can't see it? Because you can't hear it? Does that mean that they aren't here? No, there's things in this physical realm that you cannot see or perceive with your little peanut-sized brain. And we've come to recognize that when it comes to television and radio and cell phones and stuff like that. You don't see those signals, but they're here. And did you know that there is a spiritual world? There's angels in this place. There's all kinds of things in here that you can't see. And somebody says, well, how do you know that? Because Jesus said in John chapter 6, verse 63, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. God's word is spirit. It's like allowing you to see into the spiritual realm. You know, right now we're inside this auditorium and you can't see outside. But if you were to go to a window, that's how you would look to see, is the sun shining? Is it snowing? Is it raining or something like that? This is your window into the spirit realm. You can't go by your feelings. That which is spirit, and that which is flesh is flesh. You can't feel the spirit. You have to contact it through the word of God. This is spirit and this is life. James chapter 1 says that this is a perfect law of liberty, and it's like a man looking in a mirror and beholding his natural face. This is all how you see who you are in the spirit, what's going on in the spirit, your spiritual mirror. And we have to get to where we take this and recognize that there's things going on in the spirit that you can't see or feel. You know, just for time's sake, I'm talking as fast as I can. I'm getting tired talking so much. But just for time's sake, over in 2 Kings chapter 6, there's an instance where Elisha, the prophet of God, was telling the king of Israel all of the king of Syria's battle plans. And so every time the king of Syria's army infiltrated Israel, the king of Israel knew about it. And he would ambush them. And it happened so many times that finally he said, somebody here's a traitor. There's no way that the king of Israel could know every plan. Somebody's given away my plans. And one of his servants says, it's not any of us, but Elisha, the prophet of God, the man of God, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedchamber. And so when he heard that, he sent his armies down and surrounded the city of Dothan, where Elisha and his servant were. And in the morning, Elisha's servant got up and walked out on the walls of the city, and he looked, and the whole Syrian army had surrounded Dothan. And they'd been giving away these battle plans. They knew that they came for them. And so this servant comes to Elisha and he says, alas, my master, how shall we do? He panicked. And Elisha, he said, fear not. Those that be with us are more than those that be with them. Did you know that a carnal person, a person who is limited by their five senses, what they can see, taste, hear, smell, and feel, they don't believe that anything exists. They don't believe that it's real. They believe that anything that's beyond your five senses is fantasy. A person like that would say, Elisha lied. And if all you believe that there is this physical world, then he did lie. Because in the natural, there was two of them, his servant and Elisha, and yet there was thousands of enemy soldiers. And this is what a lot of people do when you start sitting there and saying, by his stripes I'm healed. God supplies all of my needs. And yet you can see that you've still got a problem, and you can see that your bank account is still deficient. And there's a lot of people that'll just say, you name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, group. You're just operating in fantasy, and they have all of these criticisms. It's because they're carnal. They don't think anything exists beyond what you can see, taste, hear, smell, and feel. And so we've still got a lot of people like that today. But Elisha, he prayed in the next verse. I think it's 2 Kings 6, 17 or 18, somewhere around there. He prayed and said, Lord, open up the young man's eyes. Now, I can guarantee you, his servant's eyes were huge. They were open like this wide, looking at all of those enemies out there that had come to get them. He didn't have his physical eyes closed. He was praying that the Lord would open up his eyes so that he could see into the spiritual realm. There is a spiritual world that exists. And most of us just don't believe that. We might intellectually acknowledge it, but functionally we do not believe that anything is happening if we can't see it, taste it, hear it, smell it, or feel it. And so he prayed, Lord, open up the young man's eyes. And the Lord opened up his eyes, and round about the city of Dothan, there were horses and chariots of fire surrounding them. And did you know when Gehazi, the servant, saw these horses and chariots of fire, it's not when they came. They were already there, but he just couldn't see them because they were in an unseen realm. And when he saw it, all Elisha did was raise his hand and said, Lord, smite these people with blindness. And the Lord smote the entire Syrian army blind. And he went and said, join each other by the hand. And he led them by the hand to the king of Israel. And then he opened up their eyes and took the entire Syrian army captive. That's awesome. And did you know, it doesn't say that Elisha saw him. Now, Elisha may have seen, but doesn't say that he did. He didn't have to see it. Did you know when you believe something, when you are really operating in faith, you don't have to see it. You know, there was a time that the Lord told me about building these buildings, and I drew out this building. I designed this building, and I saw it on the inside. And before there was a physical building here, I rejoiced, I praised God. It was real to me before there was any physical proof. And when we had the dedication of this building, I had people come and, you know, I'm just always like this. I don't get really, this is as emotional as I ever get. And so anyway, I wasn't screaming and yelling, and everybody else was looking at the building, and it was debt free, and it was a miracle that God provided it. And I had somebody say, aren't you excited? Aren't you blessed? I said, yeah, I'm blessed. But did you know, honestly, seeing it with my eyes is not as real to me as when I see things in my heart. And again, I know that I lose a lot of people right there. Because most people, they only rejoice over something once it's tangible, once they can touch it. But it's in your heart, it's in your imagination is where you conceive things. Did you know in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, it says the Lord will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon him because he trusteth in him. The word for mind there, the Hebrew word is yetzer, Y-E-T-S-E-R. And the meaning of that word is conception. That's what that word means, conception. That's the Hebrew definition. So when you, in your mind is where you conceive things, even more specifically, if I had time to teach on it, it's in your imagination that you conceive things. Your imagination is your ability to see something with your heart that you can't see with your physical eyes. Like right now, if I was to ask you, where did you park? Did you know most of you didn't write down where it is and write down something? You didn't take a picture, but you have a picture in your heart. If I was to ask you, you could say, well, you go out here and you'll exit on the second level and you either go up to the third level, first level, fourth level or whatever, and then you'll know whether you go right or left. You know, you're seeing those things. If I was to ask you how many windows are in your house, most of you haven't sat down and counted it, but you know what? You could count it. You could sit right there and tell me how many windows you have in your house. You could tell me how many outside doors you have in your house because you have a picture. That's your imagination. And that's where you conceive things. You conceive things in your imagination. Your imagination is how you use the Word of God to paint a picture on the inside of you, and you believe that things exist that you can't see or touch. And that's where you conceive things. So when you see the birth of this building, to me, I enjoy the conception process more than I enjoy the birth process. I'm not going to explain that, but man, to me, conception's awesome. And man, I like it when the Lord shows me something. When I saw these buildings, I went for nights without unable to sleep. I was so excited. And then when you see them and you walk into it, it's like, well, what's next? I'm on to the next thing. And I've come to realize that not everybody thinks that way. Most people, it's kind of like we wish and hope and pray. And then when something happens, you just go wild. I go wild when I see it in my heart. That's when I get excited. And when I see it with my eyes, that's not as exciting to me. That's awesome. And so I say all of these things about healing, that the scripture teaches. I've already quoted so many scriptures, but the scripture teaches us that by his stripes you were healed. It says in Ephesians chapter 1 that he's asking that your eyes would be open so that you could see what you have in Christ. And it goes on to say that it's the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. You have raising from the dead power on the inside of you. It's not out there somewhere that you got to pray it down. It's not just in me that you have to come up here and let the man of God pray for you. This is where the body of Christ basically has been taught that, yeah, God's a miracle worker and God does miracles, but you're a dud and he won't do it for you. The truth is, he's already done it for you. You've got the same power on the inside of you that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. It just has to get past your mind. And most of our minds have put a limiter on there that if I can't see it, if I can't taste it, if I can't touch it, it's not real. The spirit realm is more real than this physical realm. The spirit realm created this physical realm. It goes on to say in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, that so that by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. It didn't say that they were made of things that don't exist. They do exist, but it's in a spiritual realm. The unseen spiritual realm created this physical realm, and the unseen spiritual realm will be here long after this physical world is dissolved and replaced. The spiritual world is the parent force. The spirit you is more real than your physical you. Your spirit man is going to live forever. If you're born again, you've already passed from death unto life, and you have the same power living on the inside of you that raised Christ from the dead. But you got to let it out. And if you are one of those that the Bible calls carnal, that you are just limiting things, I can't see it, taste it, hear it, smell it, or feel it, so God hasn't done anything yet, you are stopping the flow of God's power in your life. The truth is, God's already healed you. And you have to get to a place to where you take what the Word says and you get to where you rejoice in this just as much as if you could already see it or feel it. You get to where this is more real to you than what you feel, than what the doctor says, than what the banker says. This is more real to you than anything else. And it's a process. It says in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14, strong meat, and this is what I'm talking about, is walking in a strong faith where things are working. Strong meat belongs to those who by reason of use have their senses. That's talking about your five senses, carnal part of you, what you can see, taste, hear, smell, and feel, who have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil, spirit and physical. Yeah. It takes exercise. Did you know if you want to lift weights, if you want to press 300 pounds bench press, you don't start with 300 pounds. You have to start with something a lot less, and you have to exercise and build yourself up to it. It's the same thing in the spiritual realm. You have to build yourself up, and it takes time to renew your mind that God's word is more real than what I see, what I feel, what a doctor says. And you have to do it over and over and over. And there's many people that, again, they wait until they have cancer. They wait until it's a death diagnosis, and then they're going to believe God. But you won't believe God for your headache. You won't believe God for your cold, because you can go take a pill for that. That's like a person who says, I'm going to wait until the contest comes, and then I'll bench press 300 pounds. No, you'll get crushed. You have to start with something light and work up to it. You got to start believing for your headache to be healed, for your teeth to be healed, for your eyes to be healed, for your hearing to be healed, for your headache to be healed. And people think, but I could take a pill and get over this. Yeah, but you aren't exercising yourself by taking a pill. When are you going to start believing? Wait until the doctor tells you you're dying? Well, that's what most people do. That's the reason they die. But you need to recognize that, man, God's word is true. This is true. By His stripes you were healed. And it's not out there somewhere. It's inside of you. Ephesians 1:19 again says that you are the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives on the inside of you. And all you got to do is get it past your brain and past your senses and out into your physical body. And that takes time. It takes exercising yourself. It takes getting to where you take this word and meditate in it. You know, when I first started getting hold of these things, I had lived a pretty healthy life. I really didn't have a whole bunch of problems. And the moment I started believing in healing and teaching healing, I got sick for 6 months. I had colds. I had flu. I had all of these things. And it's exactly what Hebrews chapter 10 says. Once you're enlightened, you endure a great fight of afflictions. In other words, Satan knows that if he ever lets you get strong in this, he's going to suffer big time. So he will come against you when it's brand new. Once you're enlightened, he'll throw everything he's got planned at you for 5 years, 10 years in advance. He'll hit you with everything trying to see, are you going to keep standing on the word or are you going to go by what you feel? And so I had that exact, decision to make. I was preaching on healing and I got sick. And I stayed sick for 6 months with nothing serious, but just colds and flu and headache, things like that. And I had to come to a decision. I said, I don't care. This is what God's word says, and I'm going to preach it, whether I've seen it manifest in my body. And when I made that decision, I saw a breakthrough. And then not long after that, I had flu hit me again. This is right after Jamie and I got married. And I was determined I was going to get a supernatural healing. I wasn't going to just let this thing run its course. And I hurt so bad that I couldn't stand up straight. And yet I didn't want to lay down and go to sleep, because that's just in my way of thinking. I was giving in to it. I wanted to be healed. And so to stay awake, I got on the floor. And to keep from falling asleep, I got on my hands and knees so that I wouldn't just go to sleep. And we had a wooden floor and it was cold in the winter. And I remember opening my Bible and looking up scriptures. Isaiah 53 verses 4 and 5, by His stripes we are healed. Matthew 8:17, He healed all. This was a fulfillment of the prophecy that was spoken by Isaiah. He Himself bore our infirmities, carried our sicknesses. 3 John chapter 1 verse 2, 1 Peter 2:24, Acts 10:38, and on and on it goes. And I spent 8 hours at night scooting around the floor on my hands and knees, pushing the Bible with my nose, studying scriptures, because I was going to believe what this said instead of what my body felt. And it took me 8 hours, but you know what? I got over that flu in 8 hours instead of a week. And that's when I started, and I've just kept working on it, and I've stood, and I just walk in supernatural. It's miraculous, the health that I've had. I've seen my son raised from the dead. I've seen my wife raised from the dead. My son was raised from the dead after 4 hours in the morgue, in a freezer with a toe tag on. I've seen miraculous things, and I've gotten now to where the spiritual world and what God has provided for me is more real than what I see, taste, hear, smell, or feel. And so when I have something happen to me in the physical, I pray and believe, and then if I don't see it, that doesn't keep me from believing. It's in the pipeline. It's on the way. And as I get to praising God and worshiping Him, those things that are already real in my spirit start coming out. You need to get to where you start praising God right now before you see your physical manifestation exactly the way you would as if the doctor was to verify it, as if it was already complete. That's what the Bible calls faith. Faith is believing that something is real in the unseen realm, that you can't see it in the seen realm. And if you'll believe it and not waver in that, it will become physical. I heard a story about a woman that had a goiter on her neck, and she went to a camp meeting and asked for prayer, and they prayed for her. And she got up the next day and told everybody, Jesus healed me last night of a goiter, but you could still see it. And so People are aware, just like that fig tree that Jesus cursed, sometimes it takes a brief period of time for what has happened underneath the ground to be manifest above ground. And so they just applauded and praised God for that. And then the next year, she came back to that same camp meeting and she got up and gave a testimony. And she said, it was 1 year ago tonight that Jesus healed me of this goiter, and you could still see it. And people thought, this is weird, but they didn't say anything. Then the next year she came back. She said, this is the second year anniversary of Jesus healing me of a goiter. And people thought, this is not good. And they went and talked to the leadership. This is not good. This woman is saying something so, and it's not so. She's lying. And so the leadership went and talked to her and told her, you can't do this. You can't say that you're healed when everybody can see that you aren't healed. And so the next day she got up and the goiter was gone. And she went that night and she says, Jesus, I know you healed me, but these people can't believe that anything has happened until they see it. She says, would you please remove that thing so that they could believe? And she got up the next day and says, I told you I was healed. Amen. And I don't know, you know, that was a preacher that said, you know how preachers are. You can't trust what they say. I don't know if he made that up or not, but nonetheless, that's the attitude that you need to get. You need to get this attitude that I'm healed. I'm healed. Jesus said, I am. And you start praising God and believing it. And if you can feel something contrary, you get to where you just put those feelings down. Again, that opens up a whole another thing, because again, how do you get to where your feelings don't control you? This is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 17, verse 20 or 21, where he says, this kind, talking about this kind of unbelief, only, that's the 21st verse. Howbeit this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. That wasn't talking about this kind of demon. It's talking about this kind of unbelief. An unbelief that just comes from what you feel and what you see, just natural unbelief. The only way to get rid of that is through much prayer and fasting. And it takes time to exercise yourself, but you can literally get to a place that regardless of what you feel or see or anything else, you know that you know that you know that you're healed, and you just go to praising God and rejoicing. And it says in Romans chapter 8, verse 6, it says to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Carnally minded, again, doesn't mean that you're demonic, that you're thinking pornographic things or something like that. Carnally minded means you're of the five senses. You're being controlled by your five senses. And if your five senses are more real to you than what God's word says, that's carnal mindedness, and that equals death. It didn't say it tends towards death. It's death for some people. No, carnal mindedness equals death. Spiritual mindedness equals life and peace. What is spiritual mindedness? It's not being spooky, going around with your collar turned around backwards or your hands folded like this. Spiritual minded is word minded. What does the word say? Well, the word says that by his stripes I was healed. And if that's all you think, if that's all you believe, if that's all you act on, all it will produce is life. But if you are carnally minded, if you are controlled by what you see, taste, hear, smell, and feel, all that will produce is death. You know, if you planted a garden, I don't have to be with you and you plant it. Just let me see what's growing in your garden and I'll tell you what was planted there. Yep, that's right. If you aren't seeing the results, I don't have to live with you. I don't have to go home. I don't have to know all your thoughts. Show me what's growing in your life and I'll tell you what you've been thinking. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23:7. Your life is going the direction of your dominant thought. And I know some of you have got your life going in a direction you don't want it to go, and that condemns you. I don't mean it to condemn you. I'm saying it to enlighten you. As you think in your heart, that's the way you are. If you could get to where, instead of being carnally minded, to where you just go by what you see, taste, hear, smell, and feel, if you got to where God's word said it and I believe it and I'll stake my life on it and that's all I'm going to think and that's all I'm going to act, you just get to where nothing else bothers you. You know, I went, my board made me go get a physical one time. This has been, it was in 2001. And they made me go get a physical because they wanted to take out an insurance policy on me. So I went and did one of these treadmill tests. And they wanted to shave my hair on my chest and put these things on there. And I told them, I said, this is virgin hair. It has never been touched. I said, don't shave the hair on my chest. And so they put these things on. without shaving the hair on my chest. And I was telling them about my son that had just been raised from the dead just a few weeks before. And man, they were all ears listening to me talk. 4.5 hours in a morgue and raised back to life. No brain damage, no more than he had before. And they were listening to all this. And anyway, after I got through with this 15-minute test, the doctor got a printout and he was looking at this long paper. And when he got to the 11-minute and 53-second mark, I think it was, he started looking at this and then he grunted and started making these noises. And he got a piece of paper and wrote down a guy's name and address, phone number. He says, "You go straight over here. Don't you go back to your office. You got a serious heart problem. We're going to put you in the hospital and we may do open heart surgery on you before the day's over." And you know what? For about 10 seconds or something, I sat there and tried to process what they were saying. And I felt great. And I knew that by his stripes I'm healed. And I just looked at that doctor and I said, "That's a lie. I don't believe this." And it shocked this doctor. He just, "What are you saying?" And I said, "You look at that and tell me that that says I got a serious heart problem." And he began to back up and he says, "Well, there was just one spot. I think it's when these things started falling off because they didn't shave the hair on my chest. I was holding to, the doctor was holding to, the nurse was holding to and stuff. And I think that they started falling off. That's what caused the anomaly." But nonetheless, he says, "You've got something wrong. And it's just 0.01% wrong." He says, "You could be perfectly healthy." I said, "That's not what you told me. You told me I had a serious heart problem." I said, "You lied to me." I said, "How dare you go tell?" And I got mad at this guy and I let this doctor have it. And he just took this piece of paper and tore it into little shreds and said, "Leave." And he failed me on that test. And I have a doctor that's on my board from Shreveport, Louisiana. So he took me down there and he put me on a treadmill test and he stuck this dye into me and stuff. And he said, "Don't you ever go by one of those treadmill tests. They're wrong 50% of the time." And yet there's people, I bet you there's some of you right here that have taken a treadmill test. And if they tell you something wrong, you just immediately believe that more than you believe what God's word says. I'll get in trouble. There'll be a lot of people. "So you're against doctors?" No, I'm not against doctors. If it wasn't for doctors, all of us would have been dead, because we hadn't been believing God. I'm not against doctors, but I am saying I believe the word of God more than I believe a doctor, a lawyer, more than I believe what I see in the mirror. And you can sit there and criticize me, but I'm healthy. You know, we got Mary Colbert here, brought her grandson with her, and Dr. Colbert, her husband, they're always after me that you need to be doing something, eating this, doing something. And I told him, I said, "Doc, you have never met a person as healthy as I am ever in your life. And I don't do any of that. I eat anything and everything." And I said, "I believe God and I don't get sick. I've been sick 3 times in 50 something years. And every one of those times came because I did something stupid. I am mortal and I have to take care of myself. But one time I went 72 hours with no sleep and then got a cold. And things like that. Those are the things I've dealt with 3 times in 50 something years. I don't get sick. I don't believe in getting sick. Amen. You can't make me sick because Jesus has already healed me by his stripes." Amen. And I know many of you are thinking, "Boy, you are weird." I think you're weird. You know, Daniel one time, he traveled with me, I think for what, 6 meetings or something like that. And anyway, he says, "I want to see what Andrew is doing that I don't do." And basically, you summarized it by saying that I just hate sickness more than he hated it. Yeah. I hate sickness. Yep. I wouldn't get sick anymore and I'd go commit adultery. Yeah. And most of you, I don't do anything to make myself sick. Well, you're passive. Yeah. You don't hate it. Matthew chapter 11, verse 11 and 12 says, "Since the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of heaven is preached and the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force." You gotta say, "Jesus, if you purchased healing for me, I am not going to be sick. I refuse to do this. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired." And you got to sit there and start resisting the devil. It says that Jesus went about healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Sickness is from the devil. It is not just natural. It is not just normal. There may be germs and viruses and things that are in the natural, but I guarantee you, it's all a perversion. It's sin that entered into the world and perverted everything. And I guarantee you, it is a demonic force, and you got to fight sickness the way you would fight adultery, the way that you would fight anything like that. And when you get violent, you can start walking in supernatural health. Again, it's a process, and you have to exercise yourself in it. You may not have arrived, but you ought to have at least left and be heading in that direction. So I just want to share these things with you. And right now, I want to encourage you to believe that whatever it is that you need to be healed of, that God has already healed you. He's already placed on the inside of you the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. It's not out there somewhere, and it's not just up here at the front someplace. It's inside of you. You were healed. Now, can you believe that it's done before you see or feel anything? Can you begin to start praising God like you are already healed?
Yeah. Yeah.
Can you start doing this and not do it just for the next minute or something, but can you do it for the next week, month, year, whatever it takes for the thing to manifest? But you know that you've got it. You know, I'm not even going to tell you what it is because I don't want to hear your unbelief. But I've had something happen to me that it's not a big deal, but I prayed about it, I don't know, 6 months, a year ago or something, and I'm just healed. I don't worry about it. And every once in a while, I'll recognize that I've still got some of that problem there. But every time I think about it, I said, well, I don't know what to do because I'm already healed, and I just go back to praising God and walking it out. And you know what? You just hide and watch. It'll work. Daniel can tell you about I had a cancer on my ear, an open sore that would bleed and stuff. And you know what? I just knew I was healed. It took me 6 years, not because God takes 6 years. I believe personally it's because I don't have to look at my ear. I can't see my ear. And I just never paid any attention to it. I don't spend much time looking in a mirror. Some of you can tell by looking at me. And I just didn't give a high priority to it. And it took me 6 years. And that thing got to where it was bleeding and it was running. I went and spent the night at James Robinson's house and bled all over his pillow. I felt so bad about it and stuff. But you know what? After 6 years, it was gone. And when it was left, I told everybody, I told you I was healed.
That's right.
Amen. You saw it, didn't you, Daniel? And my son said, man, that looks angry. But I didn't have to look at it. And I couldn't feel it. Didn't feel anything. You got to believe that you're healed. And if I had time, I could tell you how to shorten the time in between when you believe you receive and when you see a physical manifestation. There's things you can do to shorten that period of time. But all I've been focused on is that when you pray, you have to believe that you receive when you pray. Mark 11:24, and then you shall have it. Shall is future, whether it's 1 second, 1 minute, 1 year, whatever. You have to believe you receive when you pray. How can you believe you receive when you pray if you don't understand that it's in the Spirit that you receive everything, that you're healed in the Spirit, that you've got this power? So let's everybody stand up right now. And I want to just pray and release my faith and lead you in a prayer. And I want you to quit praying and asking God to heal you as if He hadn't done it, and then waiting on some physical manifestation before you actually start praising Him that it's done. I want you to quit that and instead, just right now, receive this prayer, receive this healing, and believe that by His stripes you were healed. If you were healed, it's done. You've got it. And we ultimately want to see it physically manifest, but that's actually a secondary thing. Just like Marisa was saying, she got healed inside first, and then the physical healing comes. You receive this and you go to rejoicing and praising God. Repent of your unbelief and repent of saying, God, forgive me for the hundreds of times I've asked for this healing and haven't believed that anything happened because I couldn't see it or feel it. Repent of that and just start praising Him that it's a done deal, and you know that you believe you receive when you pray, and then it shall manifest, whether it's in the next minute, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, week, or whatever, but you've got it. Can you do that?
Yes.
Father, we just thank you and we praise you for these truths that I've been talking about here today. We thank you that through Jesus, just exactly the same as we were forgiven of our sins 2,000 years ago, you died and purchased it. Thank you that 2,000 years ago, you took our sickness into your own body on the tree, and that you died not only for our forgiveness of sins, but also for our healing. Thank you that by your stripes, we were healed 2,000 years ago. And thank you that when we got born again, you placed this resurrection power on the inside of us, in our spirit. We have the same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And that, Father, this body and these sicknesses and whatever is dealing we're dealing with has to leave. Thank you, Father, that it's done. Right now, you start praising God that you're already healed. Start praising God that it's done. I want our prayer team to come down here at the front. Stand down here at the front, if you would. And right now, you just start praising God. Right now, out loud. Don't do it just in your heart. Do it out loud. Start praising God. Father, I thank you that by your stripes, I am healed. It was already done. Thank you that I've got this raising from the dead power on the inside of me. And body, I speak to you. I speak to my ears, eyes, heart, legs, joints, whatever the problem is, cancers, arteries, veins. We speak to you in the name of Jesus, and we command you to right now receive this, to let this resurrection life flow out through us right now. And so we just speak that by the stripes of Jesus, we are healed right now. Right now. Here's somebody who is short of breath. There could be multiple things. Could be a heart problem, could be asthma, could be different things. But anyway, you've been having problems with your breath. Right here is the healing power of God. It's all in you already, but it is manifesting right now as you're responding. Here's the healing power of God. As I'm calling out some of these things, I want you, if you believe that this is you and that your healing is manifesting itself right now, I want you to just take a step of faith and get out of the aisle and come down here. And by doing that, you saying, I've got it. It's done. And I believe that it is manifesting itself right now. So as I call these things out, you get out of your seat, come down here and let one of our prayer team just pray with you and see these things manifest. So there's people that have been short of breath, whatever the reason for that is. Some of it could be altitude sickness. There's some people that struggle with the altitude here. And if that's you, just receive it right now. Father, we receive it. Here's eye problems, and it's not, it's underneath your eyes. I don't know what that is, but the Lord shows me it's something underneath your eyes, like bags or your eyes or puffy eyes or something. You're being healed. You've been praying about this, and here's the healing power of God that is healing these eyes right now. Father, we agree. Here's teeth that are being healed. Man, I believe that cavities, people that have problems, gum disease, all kinds of things. Father, we just release. We speak to these teeth, to these gums. We speak to the mouth right now and command the healing power of God to manifest itself. There's people here that have been having pain in your joints, your wrist and different joints, and you're having pain with this. Here's the healing power of God. You can begin to move around right now and do things that you couldn't do before. People that have had problems with your elbow, there's somebody here that hit your elbow on something and you did damage to it. There's something that was damaged in your elbow. Right now, God is healing you and you're able to straighten your arm out without any pain. Here's the healing power of God. If that's you, you need to come forward. Let somebody just agree with you. There's people here that have been having migraine headaches. And these aren't just like a normal headache that people would have. You've suffered with migraines, light sensitive and things like that, noise. Right here is the healing power of God. I say in the name of Jesus, this is over. Seizures. We break those seizures right now. And here's the healing power of God. What I'm doing, for those of you that may not be familiar with this, I'm responding to what God is speaking to me. I'm saying these things by a gift of the Holy Spirit. And God is manifesting these things. So if you've had something that I'm calling out, instead of wondering, I wonder if that's me. If you've got the symptoms that I'm calling out, it's you. Amen. And you just receive it. And one of the things you can do, faith without works is dead, you can come forward. Step out and come forward and let someone agree with you. So we've got other people, we got more people here than we got prayer ministers. So if we've got other people that want to come help us, you can come down here and help us pray for these people. I think it's important that you act on this. Praise God. Somebody here's been having chest pains. Right here's the healing power of God flowing through your chest right now. And we command those pains to stop, and whatever's causing this, any heart problems or whatever it is that causes this, we just speak to the root of this problem and command it to be gone. Somebody here's having problems with your bowels. And I'm not going to say that God's setting you free, but God's healing those bowels in the names of Jesus. Crohn's disease, things like that, God's healing you right now in Jesus' name. We command those pains. Somebody here's had bloating, like gas and things like this. Man, it's just leaving you right now. You can feel the release. Again, we're going by what the Word of God says, but it's manifesting itself in the physical right now in Jesus' name. Father, we agree and we receive this in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Somebody was told that you have a genetic disease that runs in the family, and you don't have a real problem with it right now, but you've been anticipating that you're going to have a problem because this problem runs in your family, and you've even told people that it's a genetic thing. You guess this will happen to you. Man, that's wrong. If you've got some kind of a genetic problem, a disease, a curse that's been placed on you, I want you to raise your hand. I think there's probably a lot of people here with this. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand right now, wherever you are. And I want those of you that are around, those that have their hand up right now, you go lay hands on them, and we're breaking this curse over them, and we're stopping these genetic problems that are flowing in people right now. In Jesus' name, Satan, you're a liar, and I don't care what you've done in any of our families. Doesn't matter what has gone on in the past, we now have a transfusion. We have the blood of Jesus flowing in our veins, and we rebuke these genetic things, the curses that have been spoken by others, and the curses that we've spoken over ourselves. We command those things to leave right now, and it's not going to happen to us, and it's not going to pass on unto our children. Father, we thank you that we are free from this. The curse that is causeless shall not come. We just negate it right now in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you for that. Thank you, Jesus. Somebody here has had problems walking. You have problems in your, it's either your hips or your knees, something like that. And because of it, you have pain, stiffness, and you just have struggle walking. Right now, I want you to believe that God's healing power that's already in your spirit is coming out into your physical body. And we just command those things to manifest. We command the pain in these joints to leave right now in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for putting cartilage back in there, doing whatever it takes for the pain to be gone. We thank you. We agree and we receive that. Thank you for doing that, Father, in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Well, we've still got people coming to receive prayer. Let me ask you this. Who in here has already, now, just like I was teaching, I believe that God has already healed all of us, and I believe that you're believing, and sometimes it takes a period of time before you see the physical manifestation. But it would be an encouragement to others just to let them know that I hadn't been saying these things on my own, that God really has been touching people. If you've already got healing, or if you can tell, like say for instance, your healing's on the way, if you're at least 70, 80% along, the pain is gone, the tumor's gone or something, if you can already verify that the healing power of God is manifesting itself in your body, I want you to raise your hands and wave at me right now. Wave your hands back and forth so we can see this. Man, this is awesome. That's awesome. I don't know how many people that is, but it's over 50 or so that have already seen manifestations. Of course, many of these down here are probably receiving at the same time. But you need to get to where you are rejoicing just as if you had all of the physical manifestations of it already. You go ahead and start rejoicing before you can feel it, before all of the symptoms leave, you embrace it and say, it's mine. And don't you ever doubt it. You stand on it and you continue to proclaim it. And I guarantee you, if you don't waver in your faith, you shall have it. You have to believe you receive when you pray, and then it shall manifest itself. Amen. Amen. Praise God. That's awesome. Amen. I believe a lot of people have been touched. I've got a lot of teaching on this. Of course, Daniel's got all of the manuals that we've done here, and there's just so, we probably got, I don't know, over 100 hours easy of teaching on healing, different aspects. If I've said something today that you don't totally understand, it could be explained in much more detail, so I encourage you not to reject it. Just keep praying about it, and I believe that something good is happening to you today. Amen.